Hey, church family, my name is Caleb.
And I'm Ava.
And we're so glad you decided to be with us here at church today. Ava, what do we have coming up?
Your next steps here at Only Believe is Growth Track. Right after service on the first Sunday of each month, Growth Track invites you to learn and discover how you belong here at Only Believe. You'll also hear the vision and the history of Only Believe Church, and you'll learn about your God-given gifts and how you can use them in meaningful ways. Growth Track also helps you know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and to make a difference. There's childcare and lunch provided, so all you have to do is come ready to grow and connect. To sign up, you can scan the QR code on the bottom of the screen, or you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and get signed up there. We cannot wait to grow with you.
Hello, church family. It's that time of year again. We're going to have our clothing drive here at Only Believe for Serve Day in June. We are asking you to bring in your gently used clothing. If you can, wash them. We'd love to have them. This is the best way that I know how to serve our community. We can be the hands and feet of Jesus, and we just ask that you go through your closets, spring clean a little, and bring them to the church. Come find me, and I can tell you where to drop them off.
Healing Night is happening on March 15th at 6 p.m. This will be a powerful evening focused on faith and believing God for restoration, breakthrough, and healing and miracles in our lives. Don't wait until that night. Begin praying now and asking the Lord to prepare your heart for what He will do that night. There's childcare up through fourth grade, so bring your whole family and join us on March 15th at 6 p.m. for Healing Night.
So real quick, I wanted to talk to you about something we offer at the church here, and it's called the Blessing Board. If you've been out to the main lobby, you've seen it. And it simply is cards on a board of things that if you have a need, you can post there, or things that you have extra at your house that you want to get rid of and bless someone else with, you can put that there as well. There have been multiple people who have received blessings and needs have been met because of the community we have here at this church. So if you have something that you want to donate, head on out to the Welcome Center and they will get you hooked up with the card to put on the blessing board.
An invite card could change someone's eternity. Here at Only Believe, we put out invite cards on the pews and out here in the lobby for you to grab and invite someone you know to come to church. So be praying about who God would lead you to invite to our next service.
And as always, for more information on events, groups, or ways to get connected here at Only Believe, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and get all of your questions answered. Now, let's prepare our hearts and our minds as we dive into God's Word today.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Good morning, great church of Only Believe. Yes, that is, welcome home. I see vacationers out there that have been gone for a minute. Welcome home. It's an honor to be with you today. My name is Pastor Nicole, if you don't know, and it's also an honor to teach, to be able to share with you today, and to be able to walk with each and every one of you. Pastor Randy and I don't take it lightly what it means to truly shepherd God's people, but you are His children. You are the head. You are not the tail. You are above. You are not beneath. Amen. And just that word that came forth today, I am that I am. Have we forgotten what a mighty God that we serve? Amen. I am. Yes, you are, oh God. And just forgive us, God, if we've seen you too small. God, forgive us if we've put you in a box and left you there and only rubbed the bottle when we needed something. Oh God, that we would walk with you and live with you each and every day. God, that we would be led by the Spirit. Father, today we just give you this service, Father, as we begin to walk into your place, Father, of the word and the breaking and the fellowship together, Father, as we read this word. God, I'm asking you that today you would break forth new thought patterns, new behaviors in our life. God, that we would see the word, its truth and its revelation, and that it would go inside of us and do a work on the inside of our hearts, God, that we would truly be transformed into the image of Christ. God, that this world that is lost and dying would see you everywhere it turns. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. A reminder tonight, before I get started into the word, that we are having a healing night at 6 o'clock tonight. If you know someone that needs healing, maybe you yourself or maybe a friend or a family member, please get them, bring them out tonight. We're going to be praying and just believing God for great miracles. And I'm asking that you stay at the end of service today if you can. We are going to be seeding this atmosphere with faith an expectancy for tonight's miracles. Now, let me explain just a little bit about what that means. God spoke over our church years ago that we would be a healing center where people would come from all over to receive healing. We believe that spiritual, emotional, financial, physical, marriages will be healed in this house. I'm telling you that if your marriage needs healing, it don't have to be called forth, but if you sit in a center of healing, that which God has provided will be here tonight. He's not coming in part. He's not only coming for some. He's coming for each and every person that will sit tonight and believe that he is the healer. If we as a church believe that, when all of our needs are met, we will still stand in the gap for those who need healing. We will seed this atmosphere with the word of our testimony, who we know we have been free. We have been set free. We have been healed in our bodies. Therefore, we believe that if God did it for us, he'll do it for someone else. So what's a half hour of our life to ask, to come, and to pray, and to just believe God that when you needed something, he gave you what you needed? But we're here to use our faith for others tonight. So even if you don't need anything yourself, there's a ton of people that need God to show up in their lives and be present. Amen? So I'm just going to ask that you join with us for that half hour after service. I'm excited about this series. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a little nervous about today, though, because I'm a very much I've wrote everything down I'm going to say so that I can't mess up. But I have a feeling on my notes today in the media team, I put down there, could be a rabbit trail, and I just started writing scriptures. So I don't know where the Lord's taking us. And by the way, if you hear somebody trying to saw the roof, they're not letting anybody in to get healed. They're simply fixing the wind damage that's on the roof before the storm comes again and does further damage. So you never know. If there's a hole, let them down. We'll pray before the miracle service. Amen? All right, so we're going to go back into our I Am service, or our I Am series, and last week Pastor Randy started with, I am the light of the world, and in him there is no darkness, amen? Think about that. I am that I am. What am I to you? What is he in our life to us right now? What is it that you look at your situation and you're in need of? Because he says, I am. I am. I am Jehovah Jireh in the midst of that situation. I am Jehovah Rapha, your healer. Today, the first time I am that I am was found, Randy mentioned that it was in Exodus 3. It's not I was, it's not I will be, but it is I am. He was, he is, and he always will be. Thank God we don't serve a God that is past tense. Thank God that we don't serve a God that's only worried about my today. Thank God that I serve a God that's worried about my yesterday, today. I'm sorry. He ain't worried a bit. He's actually above, beyond, and beneath, and excited about what my life looks like. Before the beginning of time, I was. He chose me. He said, I want her for that day, for that time, and I'm not going to leave her, I'm not going to forsake her, and I'm not going to forget about her. I'm going to continue what my word said. And just as I saw all the prophets of old, and I walked them through, just as I saw Moses, just as I saw Joseph, I see Nicole. I see Joseph. I see David, I see Nikki, I see Jamie, I see Jesse. He sees us where we are, and he says to you and I am. I'm enough for you today, and I'm enough for you tomorrow. Amen? Amen? I am means it's a self-existence, and he's eternal. That's what Pastor Randy taught us last week. I learned the most that said this is the nature of Christ's identity. And he wants us to know what they are in these seven I am statements. So we're going to go to John, the 10th chapter, the 7th through 10th verse. It says, therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So Jesus is saying, and by the way, I'm going to do my best to put this in a little box with a bow and tie it on there, but it's really hard because Christ's identity is not just boxed up one box after another, and you get to open the box that says, I am the light of the world, and then you get to go into the box that says, I am the gate of the sheep. Just like I have an identity that I am Nicole Waters, I was Nicole Dosick before. It doesn't change that I was a Dosick. It means that now I'm a Waters and I'm Randy's wife. I have three children, so I'm a mother. But I'm also a grandmother now of one, possibly two within the next 2 or 3 days. God willing, pray. I know. This is an exciting time for us. But these identities are not depleting what I was. They're adding to who I am. Christ always was this, and they cross over. Just because I'm a mother doesn't mean I stop being a mother at the time I become a grandmother. It means that I'm a mother and a grandmother while still being Randy's wife. It's a full-time job. You didn't get that, and I didn't even write that down. I'm going to do my best, but all of these things that I am is, he can't be one without the other at the same time. So when he says, I am the gate, he's revealing another portion of his identity to us. And this is what it says. It means where you see the word verily, truly. It just means truthfully, I tell you, I am the gate. Some of you, your Bibles might say door. I am the door. In the Greek, they mean the exact same thing. It means I am the entrance to. I am the entrance into. I'm the entry point. I'm the passage. Did you hear that? The passage or the way. What is he the way to? Right relationship with God and eternal life. You and I, Jesus gave his life. He laid down his life for you and I to have the right or the passage, the entry point into a right relationship with God, our Father. But there's much more to what that looks like. He tells us, all who have come before me, not some, all who have come before me, all are thieves and robbers, but the sheep haven't listened to them. These are false messiahs, false gods, false ideologies and doctrines that you hear where this person's the Christ, this person is like Christ, and you should follow him because the earth's going to end on May 25th, 2027. Stop it. Stop it. There is one Christ, and that is Jesus Christ. He already came. He already died for you and I on the cross. The sacrifice not be done twice. It's already been done. Why? Because once was enough. What he came to start, he started and he finished. And he finished well, and God said, I'm pleased with what my son has finished. Amen. We, any doctrine that leads you to a different Jesus is false. Any doctrine and any type of ideologies that you hear or doctrines that you hear that don't have Christ, remember, we're saved by, through faith, by grace, through faith. When this happens to you and I, by grace is God's grace giving us the Son of Jesus who died and became our living sacrifice. And our belief in him and the cross is the entrance into that place of salvation. If they don't talk like that, that's not the right place for you to be following and not the right thing. Now, look at this. Thieves and robbers. This isn't talking about, you know, it says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. How many have all heard that your whole life? Okay. The enemy in this scripture is not just talking about old Diablo. It's not just the devil. It's talking about the thieves and the robbers in context to what Christ was writing about. He was writing about people that were teaching false things. They were leading people astray in their doctrine. Now, to believe that this can't happen within the church is a falsity. You can be led astray. Hear me out, church. You can be led astray if you don't know and realize what you're listening to and line it up with the scripture. That's on us. That's our responsibility. Now, we're going to do the best to bring you a sure word, knowing that on the day of judgment, I'm going to give a bigger account than you do because I've taught you. Whew. I heard a saying the other day. I shared this with some of our pastors, and it was a young pastor. He reached out to Charles Spurgeon, and he said, "Mr. Spurgeon, I'm really struggling with the size of my church." And he said, "Well, son, how many do you have?" He said, 50. He said, "Well, on judgment day, that'll be 50 more than you want to be responsible for." Did you hear that? 50 more than you'll want to be responsible for. In other words, there's a heavy responsibility upon a shepherd to shepherd the sheep and to teach them the truth. Think of the word thieves. The word thieves is someone who comes in the dark. They're quiet. They're stealth. You don't even know that they're sowing bad doctrine. They're just real quiet about it. They got those shoes on. They got gloves. They got a real dull light so nobody can tell what they're up to. But then you got the robber. And the robber's the one that just does like the drive-by shooting. He's like, and then he just busts in your door and takes what he wants from you. That's the one you catch, right? That's when you're like, I know that's the devil. Because there ain't nobody bold enough or stupid enough to do that in the middle of the daylight. But the thieves are stealth. These are like ministers that, let me say this, they use AI to do their messages. Because they don't want to do the work that it takes to dig in the word and find out what the word of God is actually saying. Let me tell you something. AI is not a problem, and you should all be fine. That's great that it supports what you do and how you are. Maybe it makes your letters look better. I don't care. But what I'm saying is if at the time it replaces the ability for man to meet with God and to have a revelation by the Spirit and not by a dumb computer, then let it be that the men and women of God would dig into the Bible and find out what God says about the word and not what a computer in some building says. Church, the word of God is life. To us, it's life to those that find it, and Jesus is the gate, the entrance point into that. And I'm going to tell you something in case no one's told you, there's no shortcuts. If you want God's best for your life, then you must apply and do the word of God. And trust me, you're not enough to do it on your own. There's not enough discipline and not enough diligence in your life that will lead you there, but the Spirit of God working inside of you will. And it will draw you to the word. It will draw you to the stream like a deer pants after the water, which is the Spirit of God, but it doesn't pant after AI. And what he has gleaned from all of the people that decided they had something to say and wanted to put it out there that they could get likes. The word of God, it's real. It sorts through all of the problems in our life. It looks through your conscience. It looks through your soul. It separates them and it says, this is the word. This is ugly. This is good. This is me. Let it change what's ugly. Yeah. That's what it does. Thieves and robbers come to take away from what God has given. But Christ laid down his life and gave everything for you. Believe it or not, Tim and I had no conversation before our message. And when I heard what he did in our prayer at 9:15 and he served communion to all the volunteers today, the Dream Teamers, I went, oh my gosh. It just started to do this in the midst of our service. Because why? Because God's knitting and sewing together what he wants to be said to you today. Listen, you're to be saved from the thief who comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. These are not just doctrinally. Every thief, every robber is birthed by the devil. It says, you've been lying since the beginning. This is the devil. He's been lying. And so what he does is he lies to people. He lies to the people of the Bible, which were the Pharisees and all these other people that were coming in and they were building these false doctrines because they were trying to build a false Jesus and what righteousness looked like. They were trying to change the way the gate looked. You can't change the gate. He is the gate for you and I. And in order to pass through the gate, it requires that you say yes to what's inside. You don't get to choose over the gate and then jump the wall and go live like a devil and then come back in the gate. The scripture says that they'll come in and they'll go out. to pasture. It doesn't mean you'll come into salvation and out of salvation. It means once I've been saved, I'm going to live accordingly, and I'm going to understand that inside the sheepfold there is protection. But I'm going to come in when I need protection from the enemy. And then I'm going to go out during the day. And I'm going to live my life abundantly so that the world can see that I've been changed because I walked over the gate. I went into the gate. That's who he is in our life. So many things come with walking into the gate. Let's turn to Matthew 7, the 13th and 14th verse. Now, most of you have heard this either quoted or talked about in your life once or twice. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I looked up the word wide. And it meant that it was spread out and that it was flat. Flat. So think of this sanctuary, and the back doors are all the way across the back, no barriers, and you just get to walk out. No one has to get in line. No one has to feel pressure. Literally, they just walk out. But when I looked up the word narrow, here's what it means. You ready? Get ready. Pressure. Pressure, because see, wide gate doesn't have any pressure to it. The wide gate, you get to live the life you want. Picture yourself walking out of a baseball coliseum after the game of the, I don't know, Red Hens, Red Chicks, whatever they are, Mud Hens, just won the game, and you're trying to get through a 16-foot opening, but there's 30,000 people. David, get up. Come on, get up, boys. Come on. Come on. I know you can help. Come on, Joseph, get up here. Get up here. Now look, you guys are in front of me, okay? Come over here and get real close, real close. Joseph, come over here. Now look. Now, I want you, we're going to go through that aisle right there where Angela is. Let's go. Watch. Oh, excuse me. Pardon me. Can you get over? Oh. What is this? Pressure and tension, because all these people have to get into such a small little space. And so what happens, it starts to get pressured and you start to feel friction. And you know what? No one likes that. No one likes that. Everyone wants to walk around and get the wide gate open. We just want to walk around like we want, just like this. But God says, oh no, when you go through the narrow gate, there's going to be a lot of you wanting to go through this, but it's going to cause friction. There's going to be pressure that's coming, trial and tribulation. And as you go through that, you're going to learn as you go through the trial. You're going to learn as you go through the tribulation. But that pressure is meant to bring you to a place that it will bring glory to me. Because when you go through it on your own, the wide gate, when you can do it on your own and you don't need me, then that's not giving me glory. That's bringing you glory. But when you go through that narrow gate that I said is the way, and multiple people go through the wide, but only a few choose the narrow. If you came to Christianity today because you think it's the easy way out, it's not. I'm here to tell you that the cross and the enter, that gate is free, but it will cost you everything. It will cost you your pride. It will cost you your self-dependency. It will cost you financially. I know that. You want to know why? Because when you see the needy, you have to respond. It'll cost you. It'll cost you self-control. When you want to say what you want to say because you deserve to say it, it'll cost you your mouth to be shut up because the Holy Spirit will say, quiet your soul and don't talk. It'll cost you a lot. But in the end, it will be worth it. When Jesus was teaching in his message, he was talking about the broad and the narrow gate. Let's go to Matthew 5, turn back a page, 44 through 48. And I say this because when Christ was talking to us, he was on the Sermon of the Mount. It's one of the longest messages, one of the first messages he ever taught, and he teaches us about what life's going to be and how he's setting up new plan or playbook to the kingdom, if it were. There was an old way that it operated, but after Christ had come, there's going to be a new way to operate. And so the old way is going to be done away with. It's not that the old way wasn't good. It's that the old way had to be fulfilled that there could be a newer covenant. I'm going to show you where that's at. Look what it says. In the 43rd verse, it says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." How many of you agree with that statement? Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. No, yeah, no, that's not true. But that's the way we want to think. We want to love our neighbor and hate the person that hates us back. This was the old way. They could hate someone that hated them, but look what he says. "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." Guess what? That means everyone that you have a problem with, Jesus does not. He's bringing rain to them too. Jim, you're a farmer. But just because you're a Christian farmer and there's a non-Christian farmer, God doesn't hold back the rain from the sinner farmer. Because he sent out his word and he said, that rain will go to the earth. It will water it. It will come back to me after it's done what I sent it to do. Right? Same way. Same thing he's doing here. He's saying, you know what? You're not going to like me now. Those immigrants illegally in your country that you hate because they're taking your tax dollars, they're taking your money. I'm not telling you whether that's right or wrong. What I'm telling you is, you're to pray for them. You're to pray for them. That guy that just murdered another girl and took a family member out of the family because he was in here illegally, guess what? You're to pray for him. He said, pray for those that persecute you. You know what? That was terrible. Pray for those. How about the Iran war right now? How about that? Everyone wants to talk terrible stuff about it and say, yeah, they deserved it. Okay. Whether you like or don't like what's happening, God tells us that those that are being persecuted, we are to pray for them. Come on, this is rubber meet the road. God's telling us a new way to operate. And he's saying that the broad road looks like this. The broad road looks like, say what you want. Do what you want. Hate your enemies because they've done you wrong. Go ahead, pray in public so you can get attention and everyone can look at you. The broad way looks like, go ahead, help the poor and then tell everyone about it. This is what the whole scripture in Matthew is talking about. You can read the whole fifth chapter. It goes through it all, through prayer, through money, through divorce, through adultery. It goes through it all. What's he doing? He's saying, this was the way, but this is the new way because I have come. And there's a better covenant. And I want you to live like this. I want you to pray for those people. I don't want you to pray because you want to be seen by men praying. I want you to pray because it breaks your heart that another country is losing people that maybe had nothing to do with this war at all. I want your heart to break for the three Ohioans that were killed in the plane. I want you to pray for them and their families. I want you to pray for our president. I want you to pray for all the Democrat representatives and congressmen that you would rather not pray for on a regular basis. I don't disagree. What I'm saying is God's calling us to live on a narrow path. It's a hard place, hard pressed. Andrew, put up my photo today if you would, or whoever's back there. I can't see you. Here's a photo I found of what it looks like for the gate. So this is a shepherd's sheepfold pen. And this is Jesus at the gate. Now, what would happen is there's only one way in and one way out. But because he wanted to know what would come into the fold at night or during the day, and he wanted to protect the sheep, he would become the gate. Just like this. I'm sure there were times maybe the gate looked like this. He wasn't deity then, so he did sleep and he did slumber. But in heaven, he didn't. So I'm sure, knowing that anyone that stepped over him, anyone that touched him at night, he would immediately be on guard and ready to take down because he was coming in for the sheep who had come into that place for what? Rest and protection. Rest and protection. You and I are like that. When we come into Christ, when we come in through the entry point, There are certain things that come with being in that sheepfold pen. There are things that are now available to you and I that were not before. Number one, protection from what's outside of those walls. Protection from nothing coming in while you're sleeping and resting. Did you hear me? Some of us are fearful. Fearful about what's going on. Let me tell you something. God tells us to don't be anxious about nothing. Listen, I think it's terrible what's happening in America today and what's happening across the world. But the Bible tells us specifically that you will know the times different from another because there are wars and rumors of wars. And they're going to be like birth pains. Church, let me tell you something. Birth pains start out really slow. The wars start out really slow, and then they get more, and they get more, and they get more. Why? So that you will be able to discern the timing that you are in. I'm telling you that there are more wars and more rumors of war than have ever been talked about before that we have come into. I'm telling you right now that there are birth pains amongst the church right now, and that if you didn't think now was the time to be right with God, I'm telling you that he's coming quickly. And you can say, no, my grandmother told me that, and her grandmother told me that. But let it be that we would be the generation that would preach, he is coming, and he is coming quickly. He is coming soon. Don't let sin be upon your door, because when you do, he will pass over you. Rid your hearts. Rid your hearts of sin and malice. Love those enemies. Do right when it's not expected, when it's not an eye for an eye. It's not because they did me wrong, I'll do them wrong. It's when you do me wrong, I'm going to do you right. You don't deserve to be done right. You don't deserve for it. But my Father in heaven told me that if I was to look like him, if I was to bear his name and to rep his name well, that I'm to love you in spite of you hating me. And that's okay, because I'm big enough, because he is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this hateful world. Greater is he that is in me that is in this place of shame and disgrace all over America, that Christians would rise up and say, we'll rep Jesus. And we'll rep him well. Amen. Jesus himself laid down his life for those sheep. And what he does is he invites us into the sheepfold to offer that protection. To offer that protection. And yes, there's only one way in and one way out. But it said that Christ would lay down his life for you and I. And he is. But the gate of the sheepfold doesn't have a lock and key. Hear me out. Hear me out. It's an open passage. And sometimes Christians feel that because they're with Christ, they're locked in. They're not allowed to have what's outside. That's not it at all. Christ is saying that in me, there is freedom. In me and within the boundaries of my word, there is freedom. There is rest. The sheep don't have to worry about going to this corner to find pasture or this corner, because there is no enemy inside where he is. Do you hear me? He's looking for them. He's looking to take them out. And some of you are saying, but Pastor Nicole, you don't understand. There is an enemy at my door. You're right. He is at your door. But what I know is God said that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And because you belong to God, because you are his child, you have a relationship with him. Eternal life is yours. And he said, you will go in and you will come out and you will find pasture. You will find growth. You will find protection. But he says, because I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. More abundantly. Some of you out there are going, my life isn't abundant right now. Then I'm telling you, you're under an attack of the devil. There is a devil that comes to steal, that comes to kill, that comes to destroy. But what I'm telling you is you need to cross into the gate through Jesus Christ, and you need to begin to rest in who he is and what he offers and everything that he has to give, because he is not a God that he should lie. And he becomes everything that you and I need in that moment. He wasn't, I was. And I will be. He is, I am. I am what you need. I read a story about a sheep farmer. I forgot my phone. I didn't think I needed it, and I did need it. I try not to bring my phone out here, because what if it goes off? This little sheep farmer says that she was with her sheep, and she'd put up a fence, and they were all inside the sheepfold. But this one little sheep always wanted to stick her nose out from underneath the fence and get into the grass that she was denied. Okay? Now here's what I'm going to say. Jesus hasn't denied you from anything that's good. He's denied you from the things that will harm you. So this little sheep isn't a perfect picture of what we're talking about, but pretty close. By the way, I've done a lot of study on sheep over this last week. Next week's going to be even better. I'm not a shepherd of real sheep, but man, I'm telling you, this is like crazy, all the stuff. Do you know sheep have no homing device? You know, like a cat can leave your house, and they go away for 2 or 3 days, and then they come back. Do you know that sheep cannot find their way back? They are truly lost. Can't find their way back. They don't know. I don't know if they don't pee along the way. I don't know what it is. I just know they can't find their way back home. I always thought cats just peed all along the way, you know, like little leave pieces of something. I don't know. Anyways. In this sheepfold, this little ewe would keep sticking her head out, and finally she got outside of the fence. But the sheep herder came in the next day, and she said it was super hot outside. This sheep would not have made it where she was at because it was all open sun, and there was shade for this sheep where they were. And so literally, they go and open the gate. All the sheep would have had to do was listen to the shepherd's voice and come back around to the gate. They unlock the gate, and they start calling for the sheep. Her exact words were, "We whooped and called for the sheep." I don't know if that's a herding term or not. They whooped for the sheep. Whoop, whoop, whoop. I don't know. I'm just thinking. If you're not a sheep farmer, you probably don't know. And she said, this little sheep began hearing the voice and would ram her head into the fence over and over and over. And the gate was wide open. The gate was wide open. All the sheep had to do was listen to where the voice was coming from, walk around, and step into the safety and get out of the heat of the day. Is it possible that we, like a sheep, have all gone astray? That we've all lost our way? We've all sinned and fallen short? But yet when it comes time to come back into the fold, we think our way is better. And we just start ramming our way back into where we think God should have us. We start ramming, "I know better. I know what I'm called to do. I know where I'm supposed to be. I know this." And all along, the Holy Spirit is saying, "I'm over here. I'm over here. Come through the gate. It's already open for you." Is it possible that we've become that stubborn and that self-dependent that we've identified that we know better than our Savior, that we know better than the great and mighty shepherd, that we know better than the one who made a way for you and I, that we know better than the one who created us from our mother's womb and every gifting you have, but every weakness that you carry? Is it possible that we are that little you, stubborn and broken? Here's what I'll remind us of today. You and I are to look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. In every scripture in the Bible, he's telling us to look towards him. Look towards him and listen to the calling of the Holy Spirit that's on our life. Listen to his pulling us and drawing us to this place. And I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes it's not hard because the gate is not wide. And it looks like, "Are you kidding me? Why do I want to go that way? It's the hardest way of all." Because those hard things teach us something. And it's not God teaching us. It's God saying, "I know you want to go this way, but that's the easy road. And that easy road doesn't lead to everlasting life. That leads to destruction. But this road will keep your eyes up on me. They will keep your dependency on me. You won't be able to forget. You won't be able to take your eyes off of me. Because if you do, you won't make it. You won't be able to shut your ears off to me and listen to the music you want to. You're going to have to tune your ears to listen to me. For I am the great and mighty shepherd. I will lead you by still waters." Why? Because a sheep will not drink from a raging water. But they will drink from the stillness. Do you know that a kitty cat doesn't like to do that? A kitty cat wants his water to roll out of something. Because when it's rolling or streaming or pushing, it means it's cleaner. It means it's cleaner for a cat. You want to know why I know? Because my cat got a urinary tract infection because we didn't do that. They said, get him a fountain. We got him a fountain. He started drinking like a sieve. Yeah, $480-some later. Mr. Fluffy's not alive no more. He's dead. But anyways, God knows what you need. He knows that you need green pastures to grow spiritually. He knows that you need still waters, because as sheep, we can become fearful of raging water. Church, he is our gate, and he's calling for each and every one of us to come back through the gate and keep our noses out of the grass that doesn't belong. It says, have life and have it to the full. What does it mean? It means super abundant. Oh, and this is going to get some of you. Okay, my mom, I know she's not here today. By the way, thank you for all of your prayers. My mother is well. She is fighting the shingles virus, just so you know. It's terrible. She's had a very stressful month moving, but she has relocated alignment, and we're so glad she's with us. However, my mom keeps saying, Nicole, I want quality of life, not quantity. And I get that. I get that. After you lose a spouse, the things that matter to you change. And she said, I want quality. But listen to this. This is so good. I'm going to use this on her. Have life and have it to the full. That means abundant life, which is in some of your Bibles, in the New King James and the King James. But super abundant in quality and superior in quantity. Isn't that not beautiful? God wants you to have quality and quantity, and that equals abundant life. So now when she tells me I just want quantity of life or quality of life, I'm going to say, no, 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 Mom. God said that he came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. So you don't only get quality, you get quantity as well. Amen? Amen. God wants you to have quality of life in your relationships. Not just quantity, quality, life, relationships. He wants your marriage to have quantity. He wants it to be of value and to have depth to it. He wants your finances to have quality and quantity. Did you hear me? And if that's the prosperity message, then yes, God says it. He wants you to have quantity of what you have. Not just to have health, but to have quality and quantity of health. Till you're overflowing with the goodness that people look at you and they're like, I don't understand why you have so much joy. It's like you went through the line and I skipped it. What is that? Quantity of joy. You got a quantity of something. And when you've got quantity of something, what do you think you're supposed to do with it? Give it away. Why? Because when you come in and you get rest, then you take all the rest that you got and you go back out into the work field during the day and you give away what you have. Amen? Stand at your feet. I am the gate. He is our entrance to right relationship with our Father. Now, I know this might not pertain to a lot of us out there today because we do have a right relationship with God. But to remember what our shepherd is doing at that gate. Whew. If you're here in this house today, I'm going to ask that everyone's head is bowed and everyone's eyes closed. I'm going to ask that if you're in the house today, and maybe this is your first time ever hearing about Jesus and that he is the only way to heaven and that he is the only way to our Father, God, and that he was the sacrifice for our life, that though I may not be perfect, like Pastor Tim said earlier, God's not asking perfection. See, Jesus wasn't just the gate. He was the sacrifice for all of our sin. The Bible tells us to be perfect, to be made perfect. But the problem is that God knew I couldn't be made perfect. So in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, he tells us, be ye perfect, as Christ is perfect. In other words, as you're walking through your journey of life, you're never going to make it. You're never going to attain to what the standard of holiness is. And thank God, because if he required me to do it, I'd fail. But Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, blameless, not one sin in his life, and he did it and showed us how to do it. But because of his righteousness, His righteousness, not my own. Not yours. You can't earn it on your own. But because he did it for us, he freely gives it. He laid his life down for you and I to be that gate. That every time we cross over Jesus, we step over the blood of Jesus and into this beautiful relationship of forgiveness with God. And now we can talk with him and walk with him and let the Holy Spirit lead and guide us. Because it's not my holiness, but it's Christ's righteousness that I put on. If you're here today and you're like, Pastor Nicole, that is me. I got to get a hold of Jesus. I need this place in my life. If that's you, then just simply raise your hand this morning. God is calling out this morning. He's inviting you to come into the sheepfold. Come in and find safety. Come in and find rest. Let me lead and guide you. There's safety here. Is there anyone that would say, today I want to know Jesus as my great and mighty shepherd? Okay. Father, with that being told, Lord, I just thank you, God, for those of us that are here today. And Father, you spoke of a wide and a narrow road. God, I'm asking that you reveal those places that in our lives we like it flat. We want it flat with no pressure, no compression, and we just want to get through life. But Father, I'm asking you to reveal those places that we've allowed to be widened, that we've taken away that narrow place because, quite frankly, we don't like it. It's uncomfortable, and sometimes it's a little much for us. Father, I'm asking that you would reveal those to our hearts right now. God, if we pray because we want to be seen by men, if we give to the needy because it's the right thing to do, but inside our heart really goes, ugh. Fix our hearts, God. Let our hearts be in tune with yours. Let us truly love you that we could love others. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our brothers and sisters, Father, as we go into our world. God, we've come into our church, but we go out into this world. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear what's going on around us, God, in the Spirit. That you would lead us to those that need Jesus. That you would lead us to those that need healings in their body or healing in their marriage. Father, lead us to the mothers and fathers that have children in the war, God, that we could become comfort to, God, that we could pray with, that we could honor them in the name of Jesus. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you are moving, Father, on our behalf. And on those mothers and fathers and grandmas and grandpas. Now, Father, we just dedicate this next half hour to you. We dedicate this next half hour to you, Father, for miracles, signs, and wonders. We want to seed the atmosphere with faith for tonight's miracles. Father, that those who are lost and need salvation would come in and find health. Father, for those that are sick in their bodies, Father, that miracles would be present in this house tonight. Father, the Spirit of God would come in and that his presence would sit upon his people. And Father, that God, you would move emotionally, financially, spiritually, Father, in marriages, in moms and dads, in the relationships with their children. God, that you would bring them back, Father, to restoration. Now, Father, we dedicate this time to you in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you until we meet again on Wednesday night, that everyone would be blessed and safe as they go today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Those of you that can stay with us for a half hour, please do. Prayer team, if you would come down front to still minister to the needs of the people that are here. If you cannot be here tonight and you need healing in your body right now, or maybe you didn't answer the salvation call, but you know God was speaking to you, then come on down front. We're willing to pray with you. Thank you all. We'll see you on Wednesday night. Hallelujah.